Welcome to Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, and I thank you for joining us on this beautiful Saturday. And it is the Saturday before Christmas, and we are looking forward to a really fun program today. Flo Magdalena is my guest. She is with SoulSupportSystems.org, and we're going to be talking about not just the character, the person of Mary Magdalene on this program. So stay with us. We'll be talking about a lot of different things and entertaining your calls, if you'd like, at 564-1290. Understanding the people in history who have made a significant difference in our lives. And I want to welcome Flo Magdalena to our program. Obviously, Flo, Mary Magdalene has made a significant difference in your life. Is that a fair assessment?
I guess that's a fair assessment, yes.
Welcome to our program. It's a pleasure to have you back again.
Thank you, Richard. It's really a pleasure to be with you tonight, yes.
Now, you've put together two books in particular focusing on Mary Magdalene. Is that correct?
Well, the first book is focusing on Mary Magdalene. The second one is basically a basic way of connecting in with the soul and living from your soul.
Okay.
A lot of the work that I've done is based on my connection with Magdalene and with the design, which is what I learned a lot about from her. So maybe I should just back up and tell you how that began.
Please.
Yeah. I was raised a Presbyterian, and so my perception of Mary Magdalene was that she was the perhaps 13th disciple, but that she had demons cast out from her because she was a prostitute. And when I began to feel connected to her more and more as I opened to metaphysics, and this was, I started in metaphysics in 79, and then around in 89, I was really feeling a lot around Easter time, and I began to connect in with her and had an experience in church on Maundy Thursday, which is, of course, the Thursday before Easter. And I began to understand at that point that Magdalene had not been a prostitute, but that she had been a spiritual midwife, a shamanic healer, a tantric, perhaps, practitioner, as we talk about it today, and that she had connections to a very vast amount of wisdom and knowledge through what is called the design. It's the hologram that has our particular piece of the puzzle in it, if you will, the part that we came to play. And that in much of my connection with her throughout the next 3 years, she would do something called run the pathways, which would actually open her to see what choices she could make that would be most congruent with her original intention for her lifetime. And much of my work in the last 20 years has been based upon that idea that we all have a piece of the puzzle to put in that will fit and click in and will fulfill us, will bring the gifts that we have into the world, will help us to connect with other people and help us to live in a way that is non-competitive, that is sharing of resources and creating cooperative models and beginning to build a world where we have new systems that are based on kindness and sharing and so forth. And so that's really what I work with on an ongoing basis is, and this is Magdalene really, stimulating people's purpose and potential, and helping them to remember what they know, because we all have that deep memory of our species inside of us that we can open up. Once we decide that we can tap that, it begins to unfold.
Well, what you describe as far as this new way of living, some might interpret as an old form of what a bugaboo word is, socialism. But it's not that. It's something deeper or, if you will, higher than that. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, I guess you could think about socialism as taking care of each other. Is that what you're saying?
Well, a lot of people use that term in a negative way. There's a negative connotation to that word, that we don't want to go in that direction. And yet, we're talking here more, I'm hearing you say, you're talking more about interdependence upon
exactly.
One another.
Right. I'm thinking, for example, of the time that we're in right now.
Mm-hmm.
and of the fact that it looks like the resources that we need are limited. But what the design would tell us is that this is the time when we tap into ourselves, which then allows us to open to the resources that we have through that connection into a more, let's just say, universal map.
Mm-hmm.
That there's a map, and our name is on that map, and sometimes we don't know which way to go, and sometimes we don't know what to do, and if we feel dependent upon resources that are coming from the world around us versus resources that connect us to creation from inside, then we feel limited. If we connect to those resources from inside, then we don't have a reason to compete with other people because we begin to use creation ourselves. And that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about using creation so that we begin to build a world where creation is flowing between us versus mm-hmm. limitation and conditioning and the kinds of beliefs that say there's not enough.
Yeah, as opposed to the modern-day version of socialism where there's a centralized government controlling the whole process.
Exactly.
There is a centralized energy that is controlling all of us, in a manner of speaking. I mean, we still have free will, but again, we're talking about the universal mind, if you will, in many cases.
Well, we're definitely connected to a realm of creation, and we call that creation, this is my experience and belief, you know, mm-hmm. we call creation many different things. We call it God, we call it Allah, we call it Buddha, we call it many things. And that creation flows through everything that's alive, all mm-hmm. sentient beings. And when we touch into that creation, we find that we aren't really as small as we sometimes think we are, and that there are ways, resources within us and connections that we can make outside of us through those inner fibers of being or so forth, that we can then begin to feel much more connected and much more alive, which then brings to us that which is in a congruent space or frequency with who we are. So I think of it as if we go into our soul seed, if we go into the place inside of us that is connected to that big creative source or that big wave of creation,
mm-hmm.
and we go into that connection, that we begin to feel sustained. If we feel sustained inside, then that sustenance starts to flow out from us. So we then actually have a bigger energy field, and you know, science and physics is showing us that we're all connected through these energy fields, these electromagnetic fields. And if we send that energy field out and it's really, really big, then what we start to do is connect in with people on that level. And the people, we actually send out a radio signal and basically get the people in to our environment that match that energy frequency. So we attract what we're putting out.
Yeah, that, of course, the big deal now today is, of course, that law of attraction. I remember hearing somebody talking about radio waves and what have you and going back to the 30s, and I said, well, yeah, but the thing you don't realize is that we've given the name to those waves, radio waves, but those radio waves have been traveling through space for millennia. We just found a machine that created a device that can create them and then receive them, and
mm-hmm.
and then we have these giant satellite dishes that now can listen for them, and hopefully they're not our own that we've created. We're going to take a short break here. What we're going to do is we're going to come back and we're talk more about Mary Magdalene, find out what was it about her that intrigued you so much that you've pursued in your last 20 years about this. Okay, Flo?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. We'll be back in just a few moments. If you'd like to give us a call, 564-1290, 805-564-1290. If you're listening online, you can certainly dial us up from the Internet. You can dial us up on the phone at 866-564-1290. I'm Richard Dugan. Stay tuned. This is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, and we're here talking with Flo Magdalena. She has a website. If you'd like to get more information, it is Soul Support Systems. That's soulsupportsystems.org. You can get there through richarddugan.com, and you can just go to the page where we have Flo's interview, and there's a link to her website there as well. And my website's richarddugan.com. That's richarddugan.com. And we are talking about Mary Magdalene and who she is, who she was, and we're going to find out from Flo how did you connect up with Mary Magdalene? Why was she so important to you that you subsequently then, of course, put out the book, I Remember Union?
Well, Richard, I'm the kind of person that needs to be hit over the head. So I had some very strong connections with Magdalene through a session I had with a fellow. You know, he finished it. This was at the Harmonic Convergence in August of 1987, and he was visiting me. He was a German fellow visiting me from Hawaii. And at the end of the session, we did an exchange, you know, of information. And at the end, he said, "You were the female disciple that was closest to Christ." And I said, "Well, I must have been the whore." You know, that was my original thought. Like, mm-hmm. I had to be the prostitute. I had to be Mary Magdalene. And then the subsequent 1988, the whole Easter week I cried, you know, the whole Easter week. And then in 1989, I was supposed to be going to meet a fellow in the hills of West Virginia, and it was raining in D.C. I was in D.C., and the fellow said to me, you know, you really shouldn't come because it's snowing here. So in that moment, I got a kind of thought, go to church, because it was Maundy Thursday. And so I went to church, and I do what I'm told, you know, as well. I went to church, and I went to a Presbyterian church because I was brought up Presbyterian, and I walked into the church, and they were doing communion, and I really wasn't dressed for communion, but I went down anyway, and, you know, to the area where they were doing it. And I had a vision of Christ hanging over the communion table behind the head of the minister. And I was so overwrought by that I went back to my seat and I sat down, and I had subsequent experiences, you know, where I felt the fire of his energy and so forth. And then I went out to my car, and he was kind of still with me, and I was feeling as if I was talking to him in my head, but I was also receiving information from him. And that was when I started to actually remember some aspects of Mary Magdalene. And if I was to tell you that I was an aspect of Mary Magdalene, that may or may not be clear, but what I have come to subsequently understand is that there were many souls that made up the actual personality of Mary Magdalene. She wasn't just one soul. And that's why, you know, there's so many people who think they might have that strand in them. And it's also an archetype at this point, you know, so we can have strands of DNA that link us back to these different archetypes. So in a subsequent experience and in many different dreams and also in memories, I began to write what I could pull together from that lifetime, and it ended up being a female or a matriarchal feminine side of Christ. As Ralph Bloom said to me one time, you know, it's the emotional side of Christ, and it's the sensitive way in which we could look at Christ and Magdalene and begin to understand divine union, begin to understand what the person or archetype of Magdalene in reference to the tradition of energy, of Tantra, of bringing together heart and free will choice and destiny could be about. So it's a story. It's a story, I think, that's very inspiring because we see Magdalene in her design before she's born. We see her in her life as she makes her way and becomes confused and becomes upset, becomes mm-hmm. Distanced, you know, from her father and from other people in her life, and how she finds her way and how she begins to understand what the pieces of life offer us and how to choose more and more from that divine nature inside.
I know that there are those who have been researching and studying and even using their own intuition or psychic abilities, if you will, to try to better understand Mary Magdalene and her role in the time of Christ. And some of them come to the conclusion that, you know, the writers of the Bible, of course, you know, they made her out to be a prostitute, a whore, to discredit her and so forth. And when I take a look at the writings of the Bible, I think, well, they didn't do a very good job because she was the first one to recognize who he was following his resurrection. Not the men, but a woman. A woman's eyes recognized the deity, the resurrected Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And what about that particular aspect? Is there any real significance there as far as that's concerned? As far as you're concerned, I guess I should say.
Well, you know, I think sometimes the most powerful of us are either slandered or you know, there's a saying about when something new comes forth that it's first going to be ridiculed and then it's going to be criticized and so forth and until it's finally accepted. And I have a feeling that Magdalene's role was to actually take the torch of the matriarchal culture or consciousness and pass it to Christ and pass it to men. And now we're moving back into a time not necessarily of the matriarch, but of the divine union between the two, of the male and the female. And I think she actually took the Ark of the Covenant in a symbolic sense and gave it to Christ. She primed him. In my book, it talks about how she's actually preparing Christ to take the consciousness of earth and of the feminine, which of course we know is very necessary anytime we do magic or miracle, and teaching him how to work with that as she was taught from Mother Mary and others in the lineage of the goddess. And as he began to take his power, she sat there with him, stepped aside, and it talks about that in the book, and actually was giving him, in a sense, permission to hold that energy and to transfer it in a way to the culture that we've been experiencing, which we've called the Piscean Age for thousands of years, and now we're moving into the Aquarian Age where the balance and the equality is going to be very available.
What about others' observations as you see them? There, one in particular that became very controversial back in the late 80s, a movie and a book, though actually the movie was based upon the book, The Last Temptation of Christ by Kazantzakis. And now I saw the movie just because I was curious, and I found I had no problem with it, but I didn't want to stop there, so I got the book. And what I found fascinating about the book was the preface by Kazantzakis, who basically, and I paraphrase, said, these are just my musings. It's just my mind kind of running amok a little bit. I'm not saying that this is true, and yet people took it so far out of context as to think that he was trying to, you know, say something other than he was. But what I'm curious about from your perspective is the way in which he portrayed the relationship between Mary Magdalene and Christ.
Well, you know what's interesting to me, Richard, is I have been doing a lot of touring and going into different seminar situations, and I have been presenting with Margaret Starbird and Kathleen McGowan and others who have a very strong story and sense that Christ and Magdalene were married, had children, and that this is provable through Renaissance art and different kinds of means. And in my story, the sense of union was energetic and in a sense tantric, but not sexual. And this is very clear for me that this was the relationship between the two, and that they spent a lot of time apart, and that they came back together when Mother Mary was passing, and that Mary Magdalene helped Christ pass because he did not die on the cross. There was a whole configuration, a constellation of consciousness to hold him between the worlds. And then Joseph of Arimathea assisted him to leave, and he went to France with Magdalene. So this is the information that I got. But what's interesting is I asked at one of the seminars, I said, so why do you think Mary Magdalene is inspiring so many different stories with so many different storylines? And we talked about it, you know, as a group, and what we came to the conclusion was that the story for each of us is important, and yet there's not one truth. And many wars have been fought about the truth, haven't they? And so I think that Magdalene is stimulating controversy in some ways, or at least discussion, to ask us to go beyond our idea of what the truth was and our attachment to it. And, you know, in the people that were picketing The Last Temptation of Christ were attached to the story as it had been given to them through what they considered to be the truth. And I think it's giving us an opportunity as a species to discern what is our truth, but not to make it a point to fight over or to separate around, but rather to open to the capacity to hold all of it and to know that all of it is weaving something finer.
I know that it has been said that the truth is only the truth until it's written down. And then it's no longer the truth, because now you can see it, and then you can start dissecting it, and then it changes. It's rather fascinating. And so is this conversation, and we're going to continue it here on Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan here with Flo Magdalena. Rita's in studio with us as well, and we're talking about Mary Magdalene and who she was, who she is, and we'll also talk with Flo about I Remember Union. Her website is soulsupportsystems.org. That's soulsupportsystems.org. I'm Richard Dugan. Stay with us. If you'd like to give us a call, 564-1290. That's 805-564-1290 or 866-564-1290. Stay tuned. This is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, and every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m., we come your way with a program designed to bring you new paradigms for a new world, things to think about, to contemplate. Today we're talking with Flo Magdalena. She's the author of I Remember Union. She has a website called soulsupportsystems.org. That's soulsupportsystems.org. My website is richarddugan.com, and we'd love to hear from you here today, 564-1290. This is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, and we bring you new paradigms for a new world, choices and knowledge of those choices so that you can help fulfill your dreams. And there are people who are very intrigued and interested in the character of Mary Magdalene, the person therein, and what she did in her time, and even what she's doing today. And one person who is quite interested is Flo Magdalena, and she is our guest here on the program. She's the author of I Remember Union. She also wrote Sunlight on Water and has a new book coming out, which we're going to talk about a little bit later on, and it's called Honoring Your Child's Spirit. The website is soulsupportsystems.org. That's soulsupportsystems.org. And I'd like to get back to our conversation and talk a little bit more about the book itself, I Remember Union, which focuses on Mary Magdalene and how that book came about.
Well, as I said, in March of 1989, I had an experience with Christ, a vision or a connection. And from that point, the connection with Magdalene began to unfold. And I remember thinking about it a lot, about, you know, what the experience with Christ was about. And one day I woke up, and the first thought in my mind, you know, right before you open your eyes and kind of get going, the thought was, you must write the story of Mary Magdalene. And this was in, I think, June of 89. And I began soon after that to get this thought in my mind all the time, which was, it is the beginning. And after a while I thought, I wonder if that's how I'm supposed to start this book that I'm supposed to write about Magdalene. And as I said, you know, I always follow my dictates, and I'm always needing to be hit over the head. So the it is the beginning started, and that was how the book actually came to pass. And once I started to remember, I would sit down at the computer and I would write what I remembered. And I didn't channel it necessarily. It was more as if I was seeing a picture, remembering the people and connecting with them, and then writing what came from the connections. And I was also, of course, doing channeling sessions, which is what I do a lot of, and I channel the purpose and blueprint of individuals. And so as I was in D.C. around that time for quite an extended period, about a year, when people would come to see me, I would sometimes channel about their connection with the Christ story. And that would, if they were what I call a player in that, I would then begin to feel the connection that they had with Magdalene, and that would develop the story further. So I think it was basically a DNA story based on connections, and it was amazing, because I could be sitting there as Flo talking to these people, and I would also have within my visceral experience, my kinesthetic experience, another connection with this person other than the one I was having with them sitting face to face with me, and then the information about their connection to the story would unfold. And so there was Mother Mary and Joseph of Arimathea and Naomi, who was very strongly connected with Magdalene and assisted her in a lot of different ways, and Judas and so forth. And these players or individuals came in one at a time, And I wrote the story that seemed to be unfolding from that. And I felt, as I was doing this in that three-year period that it took me actually to write it, that it was the most creative, expansive time of my life. And I'm very grateful to the book because it has connected me with a lot of people in a lot of ways. I was in at Chalice Well doing a soul recognition program over the summertime, and a man came from Germany and wanted to speak with me, and I went out into the garden of the Chalice Well. He handed me, I Remember Union, translated into German, and he said, "You can do anything you want with this book." He said, "I wanted my friends to read it. They weren't very proficient in English, and so I translated it, and I want you to have a copy." And those are the kinds of things that have happened from this book. People will get the book in the mail, and it'll be in a brown paper bag or a brown paper wrapper, and it'll be outside their door. They'll pick it up, and they'll burst into tears, not knowing what's inside of it, it being gifted to them from somebody and them not expecting it. And it creates an emotional response that's very cleansing and helps people remember what it is that they carry through time from that connection.
Well, I know that that's one of the paradoxes that we humans seem to have, at least from the metaphysical standpoint, that we are told that, you know, we made a contract before we came to this life and so on and so forth, and we remember it as tiny little children, but as we are schooled and educated and trained, that remembering gets pushed further and further back into the recesses of our memories. Until we as adults have to go through some kind of program of deprogramming or something so that we can remember those things. And of course, there are always going to be skeptics and critics on all sides regardless of what your subject matter is. But the reality is that there are people who have memories of things that they could not have memories of because they've never lived in those places and done those things. So where are those coming from? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So when you were writing, you present a rather interesting paradoxical concept here. You say that you listen and follow what you're told, but it also takes a 2x4 sometimes. So I'm sitting here going, which is it? But my question is, did you ever question, as you were going through the process of putting these words down, that I probably put the word not channeled, but maybe you were inspired, if you will, to put these words down? But again, were you ever in a place of, what am I doing? And why am I doing it?
You know, what's interesting to me, Richard, is once I wrote the book, I was so happy because my father could say I was an author versus that I was a crazy lady in metaphysics. And, you know, because my dad's opinion is very important to me, and because I'm very, you know, it's interesting, Magdalene, in my experience of her, had an issue with judgment. And I have an issue with judgment. And so I had very little challenge writing about it. I've had much more challenge talking about it afterward. I've never done a press release on the book. And when you ask me, well, did I, you know, really want to write the book and, you know, how did I feel about it, I never had a question about the authenticity of what I was writing. It felt so personal to me. That's why I've never tried to sell it in that sense, you know. Mm-hmm. It's all a book that's really been purchased from referral or from gifting. People gift this book all the time. It's something that you read to your lover. It's something that you lay in bed with and feel connected to the whole realm of life. It's not just Magdalene's story. It's our story. And that's what's mm-hmm. so exciting about it. It takes us from a kind of normal individual to a divine individual. It's very exciting to me. You know, yeah. The book is graphically written, so it's in a 14 font. It's easy to read, and it's a big book, so you know you can lay it on your lap and really hold it. And it has in it, if there's a pearl drop or a rainbow, the words are formed into that particular symbology. So you're getting it viscerally and visually and energetically all at once.
I ask this question of most of the folks who we interview here on the program who have written books. What is it that you want to achieve through this book?
Well, Mary Magdalene learns some very interesting things. She learns that there's no betrayal, that there are agreements made about the decisions that occur in our lives. She learns that if one does not separate in one's heart, then one does not experience separation in their world. She learns that if one judges, or is, let's just say, if one is afraid of judgment, that one is judging another person before they're actually being judged. In other words, if I'm afraid you're going to judge me, I've already judged you. And she learns that, and she learns to trust humanity's awareness of her as a spiritual divine being. Because in the book, there are lovers that she has. There are experiences that she is very deeply open to that have much conscience and character, but don't necessarily follow the rules that society say we need to follow. And she also learns that she's never alone, that her spiritual guidance sustains her all the time, and that we can all have that same sustenance. And that's what I want people to understand, that the strength they're looking for outside is not out there, it's inside. And to offer ways to strengthen that core of consciousness inside, the central channel, the awareness of all the energy centers and how they flow together. Basically, that's what we do with soul recognition. That's what Mary Magdalene did, is to go into those energy centers, open them up, balance them, and then see how that feeling of unlimited grace is more constantly present.
Now, with the soul support systems, you have a wide variety of modalities available to people as far as spiritual healing and enlightenment and upliftment and so forth. Describe for us. You've already mentioned one. Tell us a little bit more about the things that you do.
Well, what I like to do best is teach people what I know, because I love to teach facilitators. So we have facilitator programs. And we have facilitator programs for three different offerings. One is soul recognition, which is a shamanic journey taken in a group where we remember tribe and we remember connection, and we open those pathways to memory and connection. Circuitry alignment, which is an individual process to go into that soul seed of our original design and expand that into all the cells of the body so that we vibrate at the rate of speed that we've intended to vibrate with. And then the third one that I'm doing now is John Henry work, and that's called Heart Touch. And that's inspired by a guide of mine, my first actual guide that's ever been incarnated, because I don't work with incarnated guides usually, haven't to this point. And Heart Touch is a way to actually listen to the body consciousness, what is creating and holding patterns in our physical body that are creating discomfort, and moving those through very simple and very direct processes. So those are the three major ones that I've trained facilitators in and that we're offering at this point. And then personally, I do coaching, and I also do readings that basically are reading the record of an individual to assist them to truly feel the vibration of their own design. Because I think our culture does not give us an opportunity to really know who we are. Who we are is always couched in terms of what we've done, or where we show up, how much money, education, experience we've had, and not about our essence. So I work with essence, and I work with the deepest part of our consciousness, and also the part of us that really wants to express. There's so much of us that we want to fulfill in our lifetime, and so many of us have given our dreams up and don't think we can. And so, you know, John Henry, long before Barack Obama, used to say, and still says, yes, I can.
Well, I know that one of my first guests on this radio program, when it first started a little over a year ago, wrote a book called I Can, I Will. And I always liked the title of that book. I think that that's really what we try to present here, is the opportunity that you absolutely can. Just because you haven't yet doesn't mean that you can't. The only reason that you wouldn't be able to is if you're not in this world. And if that's the case, then you're not listening to this program anyway. So if you're hearing this, you still have an opportunity. It's still there, right?
It's choice. It's really choice.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And, you know, we can say, well, this is wrong and that's wrong and this is the other thing is wrong and so I can't and I won't. But actually, inside of us, you know, we receive all of our resources. Everything really comes from the extended universe. We think it comes from our paycheck or our boss, but it really doesn't. And once we start tapping into that larger creative body of energy, we can begin to direct our experience in the way that we want to. And I've seen that happen for me and for many other people, and I really stand behind that. And even if people are facing a transition that they would call death, or even if they're facing a divorce or loss of a job or something, there's always, in some way and measure, a part of them that understands that this is going to lead them to something else, and there's always something else to be led to. And the more authentic we are with ourselves, the more we pay attention to our inner voice, the more directly we can embrace that and get going on a pathway that allows us to be free and to open ourselves to compassion, kindness, and connection.
I think that movement is essential as well. We can have the inspiration to move forward in a particular endeavor, but if we don't move, physically move forward and start doing, nothing gets done. No one's going to do it for us.
Exactly. And one of the things that I work a lot with is energetic movement. And I want to tell your listeners about a conference call I just did last Monday night, the 15th. And they can go in and listen to it. And I want to give you the phone number. It's called Opening to Your Design in 2009. It rhymes, not intentionally, but and basically what this channeling does is give you an idea of how to start moving the energy of your pattern into the world.
Okay.
And so it's a conference call. It's 231-644-8099. So that's 231-644-8099. And the passcode that you'll need to get in is 222-126.
Okay.
That's 222-126, and then they'll ask you to put the pound after that, so it's 222-126 pound. And every other Monday night I do a channeling that's available, and you can go on the website and get that phone number. This is the playback number that I just gave you.
Okay. And, of course, don't for those of you taking this down, don't tell anybody else. 231-644-8099. That's 231-644-8099. And then the passcode 22126 and the pound key. 22126 and the pound key. If you missed that, the archive will be up on the website for you to listen to this interview after the program is over. And you can get that again. And then what you can do is make a copy of the program and send it to all your friends and say, listen to the near the end of the program. It gives out a phone number and a passcode. Don't tell anybody. And pass it on, and I mean, you may very well glean something from it. And we're going to do the same thing. We're going to glean something from a message that that Flo has for us when we come back from break here on Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. We're talking with Flo Magdalena, and we are going to take a short break and come back, and Flo will share with us a message from I Remember Union. This is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. RichardDugan.com is where you'll find our guests and the archives of these programs. And we'll be back. This is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. We're talking with Flo Magdalena, and I want to give out that phone number again for that conference call. Give us the title of that particular pre-recorded conference call again, Flo.
It's called Opening to Your Design in 2009.
Okay, and the number is 231-644-8099, and the passcode is 222. That's 2222. I did it wrong again. It's 222-126. That's 222-126. Again, 222-126 after you've dialed the number at the top there. And, of course, it'll prompt you to also press the pound key, and then you can listen to that particular message. Now, you have a message for us, and we have about 3 to 5 minutes here for you to share that with us. And this is an excerpt, actually, from the book, I Remember Union. So I will leave it to you.
Okay, and this is called Imagine. And as you listen, put on your little caps, you know, as if you're in kindergarten, and just listen, as if your critical mind can just step aside for a moment. Imagine all the players coming together, the cast forming without conscious knowledge, all the ties that bind, bringing together the souls of time to align once and for all, thus creating the most monumental advancement in human consciousness ever experienced, in all time, of all time, and for all time. You are assembling now. There is no way to move apart from the thrust of the import, no way to negate the call. The call of the soul through time for expression and resolution. There are no borders within which to stay, for the boundaries are moving faster than the resistance. And for once, the resistance has no form, cannot carry with it the intention, because none exists. Imagine that now the players are assembling to draw all together in the final act of humanity, the choice of humanity for union. Look and recognize our family, the family of our true origin, for none other matters, for it is only the family of your soul who calls. Look only to the moment to bring you the joining you seek. Look only to your soul to tell you the import of itself. Listen. Listen to the voice of the harp and the drum. Listen. Time is calling. Look. Time is hailing. Be with the hailing and the calling, and deep within yourself you will feel the responding rhythm of the beat of being. Seek no further, for you have found the way home. It lies within and has begun its last true trumpet call. You are assembling, and therefore it is time. There are no more questions to be answered. Believe that this is the final act, and the design is truth in form for all time now.
And that is entitled Imagine, from the book I Remember Union, and by Flo Magdalena. And she has also another book called Honoring Your Child's Spirit, Pre-Birth Bonding and Communication. And then I realize we only have a couple of minutes left, but give us a brief synopsis of this particular work.
Well, what this work looks at is the capacity for a mom to connect in with the soul of her child while the child is in utero, and to begin to learn about that soul, to teach the child about themselves, herself, and her family, what to expect when birth occurs, and how to begin to look at the field of the family. What's the configuration? What's the constellation? How do the family members relate? Who is comfortable with whom, and so forth, so that when the child comes in, it does not need to choose to be a victim or a perpetrator. It does not need to choose to protect or stand away from others. It learns to stabilize its own field within its own framework. So, for example, when the mother is pregnant, the child is in utero, the fields are merged. And then when the baby is born, we birth the baby in light. We tell the baby that it is light and it will remain light. I am light and light I shall remain. You are light and light you shall remain. And then we bring the baby through on a bridge of light so that it doesn't feel that separation. It feels connected. It knows its own essence, and it's much more profoundly connected in a deeper way to mom and family, so that the daily challenges that we face in families do not erode that essential connection that's been bonded and formed during the pre-birth process.
And, of course, this book will be available through your website, soulsupportsystems.org. That's soulsupportsystems.org. And so you will have three works out there, I Remember Union, Sunlight on Water, and now the new book, Honoring Your Child's Spirit, Pre-Birth Bonding and Communication. And some might look at that and go, that doesn't seem like real logical, but do you know how many parents actually spend time reading to the unborn child, or talking, or playing music, or just doing things? I mean, and they're so careful. about what goes on around them, the mother, during this process, during this pre-birth process. Mm-hmm. So this just doesn't seem to be, to me, it's not way out. I think this is right on. And I hope that that people will take a look at the works that you're doing. And I want to thank you so much for joining us here on the program. It's been a pleasure to have you on the program again, and we look forward to talking with you again.
Thank you so much, Richard. Have a wonderful holiday, everyone.
And to those who would like to make that conference call, once again, the number is 231-644-8099, and the passcode is 222-126. That's 222-126. Next week, we're going to be telling stories. Well, we always do that here on the program. This is called To Tell Me Your Story, but we're going to be talking with a storyteller. His name is Doug Banner, and he is a storyteller by profession, as it were. So we hope you'll join us here on the program. I'm Richard Dugan. It's been great being with you here prior to Christmas. We'll be talking with you 2 days after Christmas next Saturday, and we hope you'll join us. Love to all. Have a great day.